Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you again for allowing us all to fellowship together tonight with a wonderful subject to talk about, Lord. We thank you, Father, that you've given us all insight into this subject of the creation of God, or the created power of God in man. And Lord, it's an awesome subject. It's one that we well needed. It's one that shows us what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to walk as a child of God, as a Christian, as a son of God. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night because you're the one leading it, Father. And I praise you, Father. And I bind up the works of the devil trying to mess with the communications in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome night. I ask, Lord, that you hold back the adversary from anybody on this fellowship in Jesus' name, from interfering with them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for all that you do in us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Hey, Debbie. All right. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Go ahead, David.
I'll start it out. I've had a past couple eventful days here. My mom went into the hospital Friday morning because she couldn't breathe very well. She couldn't move at all. She was sweating. She was having problems with her heart. They took her in, and then immediately I got a call at work about 8:30. Says, she has to have triple bypass surgery. You got to get here now. So I got out of work finally and got there about 10. By the time I got there, they'd have decided that, well, no, we're not going to do that now. She's too much of a high risk. Because they looked at her chance of survival would have been like 25% of the chance, 26% she wouldn't have made it on the operating room table. Another 60% after operating, she probably wouldn't have made it for recovery. So they said those are pretty high numbers, and because of the factors, whether she's a smoker, she has been all her life, and she's been through a couple incidences now. Last time she had a brain kind of bleed thing, and it set her back for a while, and she kind of got back on her feet a little bit. And this time it was definitely going after her heart. Her heart's strong, but most of her arteries are, you know, well blocked, 95%. Veins are having a heart problem. And so she was in ICU for all that Friday. And so went home, and then Saturday had work. And Saturday was nothing eventful. Went up there Saturday evening, and she was still cognizant and talking, but weaker, but getting better. And so they moved her Sunday morning, or Saturday, they moved her into the regular room. And Sunday, she went to eat in the morning after she started moving around and would use the bathroom. And she had another event where actually moved her in her hospital room on Sunday. And Monday, when she was ready to eat, and she had another event where her heartbeat dropped like down to 30, and I'm at work again. So they call me and says, she might be going now. You got to get down here. So I get down there again around 10 o'clock, and she's pretty much not even painted. You know, they got her heart to settle down with some morphine and stuff, and our vitals came back pretty good. But now she's just kind of laying in bed like most people do when they're going to die, and just kind of sleeping in and out, coming in and out a little bit, you know, not really there. So family's getting together, we're discussing all the options, what we're going to have to do, and getting things planned out, and, you know, the funeral and all that stuff, and thinking, well, this is where she's going. So we're getting ready to leave, and she pops right up again, you know. Everything's fine, talking, you know, and it's like, what is, you know, looking us over. Because we're getting hospice to come and look things over. And so they were there today at 1, and I couldn't be there. But I finally found out, you know, she had a good night and everything. And they ended up moving her into this place called Poppin House, which is a hospice facility. And now she's there. She's significantly weaker. And they're keeping her on morphine for pain because she has had back surgery. She's always had back from that, a lot of back problems. And it's all tied in with her smoking. Everything's all tied in with her smoking. And she's got the heaviness on the chest. So we're just kind of, you know, looking it all over and trying to, you know, go with this. And, you know, it's, I didn't really get a feeling to pray that she'd stick around. I didn't get that feeling. More is just, you know, I'm just kind of there, you know. So I just explained where I've been the last few days, kind of busy. And actually I came back just about 15 minutes for the conference call. So kind of been going all last all weekend, it seems like. That's just where I'm at.
Amen. What did you want to pray for your mama?
We can. The biggest thing I prayed for with mom was, and I've been working on it over the past years, was she'd get not have the bitterness, because she had a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness, you know, the railing, because she was divorced from my dad. She didn't go well with her. That was really, she really had a lot of hard feelings about that divorce. And she had a couple other relationships that didn't work out so well. So, she, you know, she kind of, you know, had that hardness about her. So I wouldn't, you know, trying to work with that with her more than anything, because I figured she's going to go. I want her to have the right heart, you know, and I'd be in a place where now the Lord will talk to her and, you know, receive her. That's more my concern. The health, I don't know how to pray for that, because I'm not sure where this is going. So, you know, pray for full recovery, but I don't know. It's like she's not going to quit smoking, I don't think. We thought she did last time, and she didn't. She still likes to smoke a couple cigarettes a day, so that's why we're still back in this situation. I'll just pray that the Lord continue to give her grace to come in the image of Jesus Christ, and whatever that's in her heart that needs to be corrected, to be corrected, so that there's not going to be anything between her and the Lord that he's going to feel like she has to work out. Father, thank you for allowing her to come back and be cognizant, to be willing to receive. Maybe this is your way to soften her up a little bit and get her prepared, because we don't all live forever. But, again, I know she kind of pushed this on herself with the smoking, but it's something she's had all her life. And, Father, it's not like we're holding this against her and judging her. Just want to make sure her heart's right with you. And she has Jesus Christ, the fruit of Christ in her, that would like to see that people develop so that they're welcome into heaven and they feel comfortable there. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer on this. And whatever it comes to mind, we'd be willing to receive and take that. Not that we're trying to correct her and bring her, beat her up, but just to help her along. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Lord, we just lift her up to you, Father, and we ask and we pray, Father, that you bring, if she's not ready, Lord, with you, I ask that you bring her back and give David the wisdom to let her know, you know, you need to forgive, Mama. You need to forgive everybody from the heart. And Father, just I ask and I pray that you do that for her. and so that she would be in the kingdom, so David would be able to see her in a different light. When heaven time comes, you know, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that she's going to be in heaven, because you're going to do the things necessary to grant her repentance, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Anybody else?
Amen. Thank you.
Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. I really need prayer for my oldest daughter. She's single mom, got three kids, and she's not in a relationship with any of the fathers, but she's had a revolving door of boyfriends. And I was over there this afternoon, and she's run off another guy, and this guy was, you know, we thought they had a fairly long, well, not for long term, but longer than long relationship, and we thought maybe settle down and grow up. He apparently had enough and was packing his stuff. And so I'd pray and I'd ask you to join me that Katie would be drawn into the fold of the Lamb, that that's the only way she's going to ever have a relationship and get rid of her narcissism, and for addiction to her telephone, which is really hard on everybody's relationships, and including with us and with her children. And that God would finally draw her. We've been praying that for a long time around this house. And every once in a while we see a glimmer that, you know, a little change maybe, and it seems to, you know, fall away. But I'd appreciate it if you'd all join us in praying that she would finally be drawn, become a child of God, and act accordingly. And then if it's God's will, that she would find somebody to, you know, be her partner in life and help her with her children and with her growing spiritually. I pray all that in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for joining us in that prayer.
Amen. Lord, we just hook our faith up with Tim, and we believe, Lord, that this girl's going to be turned around because you're going to do it. You're the one in charge now. And Tim has taken that authority because she's still under his authority, whether she believes it or not. And Lord, I thank you that he has already prayed the prayer of faith for her. And we're believing with him that she's going to make a turnaround. You're going to grant repentance to her. You're going to put the hunger of the Lord in her, Lord. And I thank you that she's going to find a godly husband to help her take care of these children. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And that she's going to submit to the Word of God. And she's going to look up to her family once again as the family that has only one has really loved her. Her and of course, Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to let that spirit of narcissism go from her, that you're going to touch that narcissism and command it to stop its business with her. And Lord, we thank you for humbling her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Y'all believe that? Amen. I thank you this girl's going. Yep. Amen. Thank you, Father. Here comes iPad Judy. Hey, Judy, what happened to your deal there? There you are. Hey, girl.
She figured out how to get it to talk.
Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Got a prayer request. Okay, Missy.
There's this really old man that I've seen a few times when I've been out on my walk, and, you know, I say hi. And I think the first time I saw him, I heard him singing. And I couldn't tell what he was singing, but I just had this sense that he was a believer. He was a Christian. So I was praying for him, you know. The Lord prompted me to, you know, pray for him and stuff. And I asked the Lord to open up a door, you know, for me to just, you know, greet him and really talk to him. So he was walking the direction that I was, and I came up on him. He walks and he's bent over, and so I said to him, I said, hi. He says, hi. I said, how are you? And he says, good, thank God, you know. And I said something like, yeah, amen, you know, thank the Lord or whatever. And then I said to him, I said, my name's Missy. What's your name? And he said, DC. And he has this accent. And he says, I'm a pastor. I said, oh, yeah. Well, he's a retired pastor from this down Haymaker Road from us. It's called St. Nicholas Orthodox Church. But he has this real sweet spirit about him. And he has an accent. I said, where are you from? I hear an accent. And he said, Yugoslavia, Bosnia. I said, I thought so. He said, European. I said, yeah. And I told him I thought I heard him praying or something. And he said, well, singing, probably praying, you know. And I said, I detected that you were a believer. I said, a Christian. But he was the pastor of that for 47 years. And he just recently in March moved in with his son up over the way on the corner. And I saw him one day driving, so he still drives, but so and he said to me first, "God bless you," and I said, "Yeah, well, God bless you," you know. And it was just kind of a neat little conversation. I didn't get into any depth or anything with about anything, you know, just being polite and congenial and stuff. And anyway, so I would like to pray for him. Father, you, when he said his name was DC, he told me what it stood for. It was short for, I don't even remember how it was he said it or whatever. And he had me say it once. I couldn't repeat it. It's, you know, it's one of those European names or whatever. But anyway, so, Father, I just pray for DC, Lord. I really sense a sweetness about him. Lord, he's pretty old. I'm guessing he's close to 90, I'm going to guess. I don't know, 85, somewhere around 85, 90. I don't know, Lord. But anyway, I just ask you to reveal yourself to him in your word, and that he just truly believe everything in your word. I know Orthodox lots of times is a lot like Catholic, and they don't believe a whole lot, but I just really have a sense that he's born again, Lord. And I just pray that you bring him to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and to believe everything in your word, Lord. And I just ask you to give me more opportunities to speak to him, Lord, and eventually that I would even give him a sovereign God, Lord. And I just praise you and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for DC. Amen. All right. Anything else? Anybody else? There's Judy.
I got a prayer request.
Okay, Debbie.
Yeah, well, we have our two vehicles out still, not working, and everything that's being done for them isn't doing the trick, isn't working. So we're not going to do any more with them, put any more money in them. And we're just praying and trusting God. We just love you all to be praying, trusting God with us. We're using our son-in-law's third vehicle right now to get around in. So praise God for that. And it's been good though. It's been good just knowing that the Lord knows. He knows. So we're just trusting Him, and just like God to be in prayer with us about these vehicles. And for God has always provided our vehicles. Every vehicle we've had, God has provided like 10 vehicles all these years. So, and including these two. And so he's going to do something else. So we're believing, and just would like you to pray with us on that.
Okay. All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you know where they are. They're believing. They're trusting. Lord, we thank you for a good vehicle for Debbie and Denny. Lord, one that'll get them around where they need to go and to stay with them and not give them any maintenance problems for the next 7 years in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to be one they're going to be good to drive. It's going to be a nice car. And we thank you, Lord, that that's what it's going to be in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, that's a done deal, Debbie. Just believe. Just believe. All right. All right, Leon.
Hey, I got cramps in both of my legs. It's excruciating. Right now I got them. And I got up for a little while and tried to shake it out, but it's not seeming to want to go. Could you pray for me?
Yes, I will. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command those cramps in his legs to cease. In the name of Jesus, all the muscles straighten up in Jesus' name. you will not cramp from this point on in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that he's going to have a restful night tonight without any cramps in his legs. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You believe that, Leon?
Yes,
Amen.
I do.
Thank you, Father. Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Michael.
All right, and everybody else believes too.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Judy, did you have something you wanted to pray?
Can you hear me with these headphones on?
I sure can. You sound loud and good.
Well, good. I thought I'd try different headphones. Yeah, I'd like to pray that my oldest daughter lost her job and that she does get another job even better, or that they're talking, other people are going to talk to the boss and see if they can get her back in and stuff. So, Lord, I do ask that she, that you can, if you have mercy and grace on her, and either give her that job or another job so that she can, they can pay their bills and do the things they need to do. So if you'd pray additionally, I'd like that too, Michael.
Okay. In the name of, what's her name?
Angie.
Angie? Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we lift up Angie to you. Lord, we know you're working in her because we prayed the prayer of faith for her, and we thank you for it, Father. We thank you that you are taking her to that place to where she's going to surrender everything to you, Lord. And Lord, we thank you for showing her favor with her bosses, her ex-bosses, that they would hire her back. And she knows the job, and she's going to do a good job at it. Lord, place it in her heart to be there on time and to do the things that needs to be done. And Father, we praise you for that. And Lord, if you've got something else better out there, that'd be good too. And we thank you, Lord, that Angie does and will not miss a paycheck because of it, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Judy, you believe that?
Yes, I believe it.
Amen. Thank you, Father, that Angie is.
Yeah. Would you pray for me to be in the rest better? They keep calling me, and I'm just not doing a good job of being in the rest.
Well,
help with that.
Look, on my telephone right here, there's an off button right there. Turn that bad boy off.
Okay.
You'll be in the rest. I'm telling you. There's a time to talk and there's a time to just believe, right?
Yes.
Lord, we thank you that you're going to place Judy in the rest to believe everything. You know, Lord, teach her like you taught me. And that's when they call and they got problems that we're just going to pray. Well, that's all they're going to hear is we're going to pray because I can't help you, but God can. And we just pray. And after a while, they'll either receive the prayer or they'll quit calling you, one or the other. And so, Father, we just thank you that you're placing that in Judy to do that and not to worry about the things because she's already prayed the prayer of faith and she just needs to sit back, kick back, and rest and know that you're doing the work, Lord. Ain't nothing we can do except believe, and that's what we do. And speak it out of our mouth. We can't speak curses and expect blessings to come. So we speak blessings all the time out of our mouth. Lord, we thank you that Angie is that Christian lady that Judy has prayed about so many years. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that Judy's going to start now confessing the true confession, the good confession, and is not going to curse her daughter in any kind of way. When something negativity comes up, and well, I wish that girl, no, we ain't going to say that. We're just going to bless her. Thank you, Lord, that she's going through a trial that's going to help her. In Jesus' name.
Yes,
amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Amen.
Well, I know I haven't done very good in the past, so I know I need to turn it over to the Lord.
Yep.
So thank
That's
you,
true.
Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Okay. Thank
well,
you.
Well, you're going to do good from now on because you're just going to believe the Lord from now on, aren't you?
Yep, I sure am.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Pretty much what I've been, that's what I taught last week, and I'm going to teach a little bit more on it this week is, confessions of the mouth and how we to speak blessings all the time. Don't speak curses. Don't speak them curses. I love to talk on faith because that's something I know. All right, anybody else? Hey, Willie. Anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about? What about a testimony? Or yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I'd just like y'all to agree with me. I'm having this weird reaction with my work boots. And but anyway, Lord, I thank you that I command these feet to be healed in the name of Jesus. They have no more problems with my boots, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for it, that they're completely healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you that when he gets home, his feet's going to feel real normal like. Might be a little smelly, but that's okay. We like for him to be good, to feel good in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, brother. Them boots is going to be all right. Them boots going to be made for walking. What they going to be doing? Amen. All right. Anyone else? That goes way back, don't it? I keep shaking your head, Judy. You ain't supposed to be listening to that stuff. Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Lee, I go ahead, brother.
I don't have any more problems with my legs.
Well, so praise God.
I'm healed.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. You see what the power of corporate prayer does? My gracious.
Absolutely.
It's awesome. It is awesome. And I'll tell you what, Denny, you and Debbie, you look for another car coming in the driveway because it's coming. I don't know where it's going to come or when it's going to come. It's going to be soon, though. I believe it. In Jesus' name. Y'all coming down this week? Y'all going to eat a lot? Is that what you're going to do? Y'all going to come down and hit the pot blessing. I know what you're going to do. That's good. That's good. We're going to have a good one this week. Praise God. Hey, Tracy, how you doing, girl?
Hey, Mark, right. God bless you. Hey, I do have a testimony real quick, if you don't
all
mind.
Right. Yeah.
There's a guy I work with that he's really a heavy set guy, and he was having problems with his hips. Like, he could barely even get up out of the chair. It took him, I'm not kidding, like a few minutes just to get up out of a chair to take a step. Anyways, I asked him, I said, can I pray for you? And, you know, he's a Christian, I think. He thinks. I'll just leave it there. But, so I'm like, can I pray for you? So I just laid hands on him, you know, and I prayed, Lord, you know, that this, pain in his hips would go away. He'd be strengthened. And, actually told me he hasn't had one problem since. So he gets up and he moves fine. So praise the Lord, man. That's God. And he's amazing.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to turn this fan up. It's getting a little warm in here. I know what you're fixing to say, Missy. Just don't say it.
I didn't think it was too warm for you, Michael.
Well, it is, all this hot air blowing around, you know.
You guys don't have AC over there, Michael?
Do what?
I said, you guys don't have air conditioning over there?
Oh, I don't know. We don't. Yeah, we got air conditioning, but I don't like cold. You know, I don't like it cold. And I've got my vents shut off. Now, Kevin over on the other side, and he's got the air conditioner on, and he's got all of his open, so. We're a happy family. Happy, happy, happy.
Right. I don't like cold either. I don't blame you.
No. I don't mind the fan blowing, but that air conditioner, I don't know. I'm not used to air conditioning. At the house back in Arkansas, my wife's got a ceiling fan going as high as it'll go, and she's got one of those kind of fans there going as high as it'll go, blowing right on her. And the air conditioner down to about 70, you know.
Wow. My mother-in-law's like that, too. I go over there, I bring a hoodie. It could be 100 degrees, and I got my jacket, okay? Because I know when I go in there, it's going to be like a freezer, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I kind of exaggerated a little bit. She keeps it on about 77, and that's still too cold for me. I spend most of my time out on the deck in the sun where it's nice and warm, about 95, 100 degree or 100% humidity. Just sweat like
there you go.
Just sweat, you know, all the time because I like it. All right, let's get off of this. Anybody else got a testimony or praise report? Okay, well, if nobody has, then our subject tonight, what was it? Created power, that, what is it?
Creative power of God in man.
Yeah. Yeah. Creative power of God in man. Yep. All right. All right. Does anybody want to bail off into that?
I think since Matt came up with the title, he should speak on it, don't you?
Well, no, actually, I came up with the title, but I had to send it over to them. So he ought to be studied up on it, shouldn't he?
Yeah, well, there you go.
I see how it is.
Well, go ahead, Matt.
Sorry. You sent that out, and I was thinking about that, I'm like, well, how could I really, you know, compare this, you know, personally with, you know, how does God's power work in man, you know? And so, you know, the first thing that popped in my mind was what you say, you know, what you speak. You know, that God gives you that power to where, okay, what you say comes to pass. And, you know, speaking your faith. And, you know, I see it a lot. You know, where I'm working or just a lot of things around here where people say something and it comes to pass, whether they mean it or not, whether they're speaking it in faith or not, you know. And it's just like, well, scripturally, where could I find the foundation of God's power of speaking being put, you know, in man, so to speak, you know, being part of man. Okay, we speak things and they come to existence. That's part of, you know, faith and believing. Well, so I went back to Genesis chapter 1. And it said, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. He didn't make nothing. He didn't use his hands. He didn't do anything. He just said, let there be light. And there's light. There's God's creative power right there in the very first chapter of the book, of the whole Bible. Let there be light. Let there be, you know, firmament. Let there be lesser lights and rule of night, you know. There's God speaking into nothing, into void, and making something, you know, as part of our faith. And, you know, it's an example. The Old Testament is an example, or how did Paul put it? Anyway, it's an example for us, for our New Testament covenant, you know, saying, okay, my feet are healed. I'm not going to have any more problems with my boots, you know. Not anymore. And keep, you know, saying that, okay, thank you, Lord, they're healed. Thank you, Lord, they're healed. They've already been healed, you know, 2,000 years ago at the cross, you know, and, you know, speaking it into existence and living and acting on that faith, you know, and having God's faith, where he had that faith to say, let there be light, and there was light. And so that's just kind of where the Lord kind of led me on that one for a little bit.
Amen. All right. That's good. That's right. God spoke everything he needed in. That's the creative power of God right there. What happened? What happened to man that he, when he started out, he had that same creating power. Adam had that same power. He had the same power that God did. But he allowed sin to come in there. And when sin came into him, there was friction there. The spirit man died and the flesh man took over. Then the spirit man, after Jesus came through, as you all know, y'all have heard all of this, but I wonder, there's one instance in Genesis and in Exodus, is in Exodus. Remember what Moses said when he got out there by the sea? He was crying to God. Let me see what he said here. He was crying out to God. The reason that when he started moaning to God about the Egyptians behind him, what did God tell him? God was telling him, he rebuked him. He said, wherefore criest thou unto me? He told him, he said, lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. In other words, he had the power. He had the authorized power to do what he thought he couldn't do. And so once God told him, he said, it's your turn, brother. I told you that you're like me. You go ahead on and do it. And so what did he do? He lifted his rod and he commanded that thing to split, and there we had it. And y'all remember what happened. Y'all, and everybody said, oh, he was this or he was it. No, he was just a man. He was the most humble man on earth at the time. He was just a man. That's all he was. But he was a man that knew the power of God because God told him what it was. God's told us the same thing. We have the same power. We have the same authorized power from God as a son and daughter of God to do the same thing that Moses did. Go ahead, Leon.
Well, I just wanted to say when Moses was speaking to Pharaoh, I don't recall seeing where God told him what to do. You know, he said make the blood come in the water, and that's what Moses did. Moses pronounced that curse upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and he did it. He actually did it. He struck the water and it became blood. He spoke that the frogs would come up, and they did. You know, so that's the same thing that God was telling him when he was crossing the Red Sea. He's saying, you've already seen the power that I've given you. Just go on and do it. Go on and do it. You know, just a little, it's just another part of what you're already doing.
Amen. That's right. And then Jesus gave us the same power over in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Let me read that for you. If I can get my sword started. He gave us that same power. Same stuff. Created power of God. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. To tread upon them means to walk on them. That means to take care of them. That's the demons. And over all the power of the enemy. What's the enemy? Everything that comes against me. That's the enemy. And nothing. What does nothing leave out? Nothing. Shall in any wise hurt you. Nothing shall in any wise hurt you. That's the authority he's given. He said, I have blessed you with all the blessings of heaven. I've given them all to you. All you have to do is claim them, walk in it, and you have the created power of God walking inside of you. The blood of Jesus runs through your veins. If we could ever get that into our minds and into our spirit, then we'll walk just like Jesus. A lot of times we don't believe that we have Jesus living inside of us, because all we can see is that old fleshly carnal life at times, and we think that God is working in the super evangelist or the super apostle or this, that, and the other. No, he's working in the lowest one of us just as much as he does in anybody else. It's us that's the problem. Our carnal mind gets in the way. Our fleshly mind gets in the way, doesn't it? And when it does, we're not in the rest, as Judy was talking about. We got to get in the rest. The created power of God in man is available to every Christian that calls himself a true believer of God. It's available. We don't have to put up with anything that the enemy has. The first thing that we all need to do is to repent, you know, repent of speaking curses on ourselves, speaking curses against our fellow brothers and sisters, and then get right with the court of heaven, and we'll be fine. After that, then you can do whatever you need to do in this spiritual warfare, but take care of business first. Repent of any, you know, any wrongdoing. I tell you something that's wrongdoing is speaking curses against somebody. I've been guilty. I've been guilty, and I've had to repent of that. I want my prayers answered. I know y'all want your prayers answered. And when you get everything clean slate that you know about, you watch what happens. Glory be to God. God's going to answer our prayers instantly. Instantly. He's going to hear them. There's a procedure that has to be done in order to walk in that that God's power, and that is to believe and to trust God. A lot of times we say we believe, but we don't trust Him. We don't trust God to do what He said He was going to do. He's going to test you to find out if you're going to walk in His power or not. Can He trust you to walk in His power? That's the big deal right there. Can God trust us with that power? Because of the things that we talk about. Remember what happened to Zechariah, the priest. God told him he's going to have a son. He said, well, you know, I don't know. I ain't trying to say nothing, but how's that going to happen? And this guy, and the angel just came from the throne room of God. He said, I'll tell you how it's going to happen. I'm going to shut your mouth for 9 months. Praise God. So you won't be speaking against it. That's the biggest problem we've got. We all want to speak against God's word. And that takes us out of the power of God. The words that we speak takes us out. You know, I had to repent today. You know, I get to talking about my grandchildren, you know, and this one does that one and that one does this, you know, and instead of me encouraging, you know, and I go along with all that, and instead of saying, well, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's bless them. Let's bless them with God's word. And when you bless them with God's word, that's when you see action. That's when you see action. Well, my wife, she just won't do this or she won't do that. She just won't come. She won't study the word with me. She won't do this. She won't do that. Well, you've just cursed her. You see? That's what we do. We just curse them. Well, would y'all pray for them because my wife won't do this? We can't pray like that. We want to do that. We want to say it like this. Would y'all pray with me to encourage my wife that the hunger of God would be evident in her heart and that she would just pick up the word of God and not put it down. Glory to God. And just from that point on, we start speaking it and keeping it and doing it and just running around the house like, you know, you're happy that she's doing it. Or your husband or your son or your grandson or whatever, you know. And that's what I'm starting to do. I'm starting to talk positive about everybody in my family and the people around us. You know, you got people around you that maybe in a little fellowship that you have that's maybe stumbling in an area here or stumbling in an area there. Instead of saying, well, you know, old sister so-and-so, she just can't get it, man. I tell you what, she just can't get it. No, pray for them. That's what we got to do. I've been as guilty as anybody. But I'm learning, in order for us to get our prayers answered, we have to quit cursing them and start blessing them and repent from cursing them. You repent from cursing them, God's going to look at you and say, look at that. Come on now. That's humble. That's humbleness. And he sees it, and he's going to honor it. Created power of God in man comes when we're obedient. He said obedience is better than sacrifice. He told us to speak. Is Christ not living in me? Christ is living in me. If Christ is living in me, then I got to speak like Christ, don't I? Amen. Somebody else want to talk a little bit on created power of God in man?
I was going to say, I like David's teaching on using the imagination with that. I thought that was very good words, you know, to see it in your mind, anything that you are praying for. I think that was a very good teaching of his.
Yeah, imagination.
That's all.
Yeah, that imagination works miracles or something like that, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, just see it in your mind. I'm looking at Blake right now. That boy is preaching the gospel. Glory to God. I'm looking at Debbie and Denny. They're driving that new car. Glory to God.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, just before Ken spoke, I was going, that's what I was told Debbie about, imagination and how he explains it really well in Sovereign God, and I think in one of the other books that I was reading, but it's our imagination is actually a set apart, it's set apart by God. It's a place where we connect God's promises to our need, you know, the need that we have. We have the promise, and then we see it. Because Peter talked about seeing, we have all these promises. That word seeing seems to come up a lot, and that's our part, our imagination. We imagine, we see it, and it's a set apart, it's a holy place where where our faith, you know, connects with the promise through our imagination. We imagine it, we see it, and we have received it. We've already have received it, that it's ours. And that's an awesome thing. So, yeah, thank you, Jesus.
I think you're muted, Michael.
All right, now. That imagination working through faith is a very good teaching that David had. That's what Debbie and Ken was talking about. You can see it in your mind's eye. We've done that before in our corporate prayer, you know, just stop and we'd say, now everybody just look at Judy as healed, or look at Michael as healed, or look at Matt as healed. And we see it and it happens. Praise God. So that's a good one. That's a real good one. Yeah, go ahead, Willie.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, one of the things that came to my mind was even if you're, you know, doubting about certain things, you know, if you take a tendency to find a scripture, you know, that can help you in prayer, it's actually really good. You know, one of the things that comes to my mind when praying for people, you know, or, you know, watching the power of God's word operate in your life is, hey, look, I love it when someone gives me a free gift. You know, I ain't going to deny it. You came to my door and you was just like, hey, look, I'm this damn phone tablet for you. I'm like, oh, my God. Thank you. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, yeah. The scripture says, freely it has been given unto you. Freely give.
Yep.
There's no restrictions there. I mean, you could toss it around all around the place. I mean, you got all this free stuff. You know, and you can freely give. I mean, you can walk past a person. Oh, look at that person's foot. Oh, Heavenly Father, just heal that person's leg right now, Lord Jesus. You know, give him relief right now. You know, and then you're walking down the street, you see a flat tire. Oh, God, just relieve this man of his frustration, Lord. Calm his heart, Heavenly Father, and just, you know, don't let this be a bad day for him. Give him a good day. I mean, you could be tossing around like fireworks. You know, because we often get into looking at ourselves, you know, before we pray. Or, you know, when we think about the relationship we have with Christ, you know, we look at self. You know, self-worship is very dangerous. And it interferes with us, you know, speaking the word freely. See, freely, it's not that hard. It's not very hard. Freely. 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 Everybody has gotten something for free. You know? Whether it be from an uncle that gave you a nickel or a quarter, and you was the happiest kid in the world, and you went and bought yourself some lemon heads. And you was like, oh, I got me some lemon heads. You know, my uncle gave it to me. You know, went out there and got some nominators. I'm just talking, I'm giving from, you know, experience from my past, you know. It's very easy to pray for people without even doubting. Think this in your mind. Freely has been given unto me, freely give. It keeps you from thinking about yourself, you know. It keeps you from falling into, you know, rejection and doubt, you know, and fear and double-mindedness. Freely has been given to me. You know, I can freely give. I've given stuff freely to someone before. In the carnal, you know, I could do it in the spiritual too. You know, get off my back, devil. I'm mean, hey. Father, you know, just bless this woman right here. I heard that she had cancer. Lord, just bless her and heal her from the cancer, Father God. You know, show her, you know, your power, Lord God. You know, introduce her to, you know, mercy and grace and salvation, Lord. Deliver her from that cancer. You know, give me a word to give to her. You know, all this free stuff. All this free stuff you got. You got a treasure trove of free stuff, man. You got so much treasure, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Yeah. And so whenever you get into those doubts about, is God going to heal me? Is God going to deliver me or deliver him or her or heal or save or, you know, encourage, you know, freely it has been given unto me. When I was saved, I was encouraged. You know, when Jesus, you know, delivered me from sin, you know, I was healed, I was delivered. You know, I was going through all of these, you know, moments in Christ, and he wants you to freely exercise that just as it freely has been given unto us. We just make it hard. We make it hard because we look at this. Every now and then this turns into a God, you know. Oh, I haven't been good enough to pray for people. I haven't been faithful enough to pray for people. Show me what is good enough and show me what is faithful enough. You know? Just do it. It's like the Nike commercial. You know? But yeah, I'm done. I'm done talking.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. Hey, girl. I see you back here behind your daddy. Amen. Yeah, that's right. That is right. Just do it. I got hung up in the 7th floor of Children's Hospital one time. I went up there to pray for a young kid, and parents just weren't there yet and wouldn't let me pray for them that time. I prayed for them once before. And anyway, the Lord told me to go back up there. When I went up there, they wouldn't let me pray for them. So I went out into the playroom. There was a bunch of kids. There was 7th floor Children's Hospital there in Little Rock. It's where all the terminal cases are. It's where all the ones that's got big time cancer, you know. And so I just went out there and started, can I pray for your child? Yes, you can. You know, and I going through the, and Nurse Ratchet came out there. She said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm praying for these children. She said, are you on the list? I said, I'm not sure I know what the list is, you know. And she said, well, you got to be on the list before you can come up here and pray. You're going to have to quit that and get on out of here. And so another woman over there said, not until he prays for my child, too. And another one said, yeah, and mine, too. And then another said, yeah, and mine, too. So Nurse Ratchet had, she had to sit down until I got through praying for all the women's children. And I don't know that God, you know, I don't know if he healed them or not. I believe he did. But that just goes to show you, when God's got work to do, ain't Nurse Ratched nowhere going to stop you from doing what God wants you to do. Praise God. Yeah, I laughed about that after. Yeah, Leon.
I got a similar testimony like that that happened to me. My nephew was born with his umbilical cord around his neck, and so he was deprived of oxygen. So my nephew called me and he said, my son was born, you know, and they're afraid that he's gonna not be able to think clearly or anything like that. And I said, well, I'll come down, you know, I'll come down and maybe we can pray for him and so forth. But I went into the intensive care unit, and there was like five babies in cribs right next to my nephew was a crack baby. And we got to talking and so on and so forth, and then my nephew left and his son was there, so I prayed for his son, and then I just went to the next bed and prayed for that little crack baby, and the next kid had some kind of heart problem, and I prayed for him, and I went all the way around the room, and after I was through praying, just as I said amen, the nurses were in there the whole time. They were talking. There was two or three nurses, and then they said, oh, you can't be in here. And so I said, oh, okay, well, I'll leave. So I went to see my nephew in where he was at, in the parents' room where he was at. So he thanked me for coming, and my brother was there, and so on and so forth. So I left, and a couple of days later, he called and said, Uncle Lee, you're the man. You're the man. I said, no, I'm not the man. God's the man. You know, it's not what I did. It was what God did. But he said his son was came out of whatever he was in and was doing fine. He said that crack baby just settled down. I mean, that crack baby was going like wild. You know, he was shaking and stuff like that. He said he just calmed down and slept and got over all of that, and a couple of the other kids got well too. So that was but Nurse Ratched was in my room too, you know? She was there trying to kick me out.
Yeah, well, I understand that they have rules and stuff like that to go by, and you know, they didn't know me, they didn't know you, you know. You gotta have a clerical collar on and a great big Bible in order to be in there.
Well, but, I was riding a motorcycle at the time, so I had a big
leather
jacket.
I don't blame her.
I'd
have kicked you out too. All right. Well, you know, that's good, because God honors those prayers. I'm telling you, every baby that I've ever prayed for, I believe, has been healed. I remember one time I prayed for somebody called me. I don't even remember if it was a kinfolk or just somebody that knew him. He said, man, he said, would you go up there and pray for that child? He said, it's got a hole in its heart. And said that they're going to have to do some kind of surgery on it. So this is a newborn, and this is a young, very young couple in their early 20s. And I said, yeah, I'll go up there. And so I went up there and I told him who I was, and I said, yeah, please pray for that child. And I went over and put my hands on that child and prayed for it, and got a call the next day. And the doctors had gone in there. They fixed and do surgery, but they went ahead and did another ultrasound or whatever they do to him like that, and they couldn't find that hole. That hole had already, God had healed it up or gave him a new heart, whichever it was. You know, I didn't care as long as it healed that baby. And they were just mystified as to what happened. I said, God happened. That's what happened. God happened. But boy, he loves to get to heal those children. I tell you something else God likes to do too. He likes to use children to heal folks. Because they got that childlike faith, don't they? Boy, they do. I always try to get my kids to the boys, the twins would always, I'd have them lay hands on people and pray for them because God would use them. Oh, my goodness. Back when they was, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old. They're going to use them again. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Creative power of God in man. Glory to God. Did you? Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
I was thinking about that this afternoon. The thing that hit me first, right off the get-go, thinking about it, was the way that God has, you know, created a new spirit and new man in all of us. That he took that old, fleshly, wretched sinner and has, you know, left the same lump of clay, but filled us with a new spirit and a new creation there. And what a wonderful blessing that is, and how we all or have that in common, no matter what else we've seen, you know, in God's creative thing. He's created a new person in all of us, and just that was what came to my mind, and what a blessing that is.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? I want to read you a little something. Where I got the idea of the creative power of God in man is in that little book, Spiritual Hunger and Other Sermons by John G. Lake. That was he had a couple of paragraphs on that, but here's what I wanted to read you. He says, how victory comes. He said, beloved, that is the difficulty with us all. We have come down out of the heavenlies into the natural, and we're trying to live a heavenly life in the natural state. We are overburdened by the weights and cares of the flesh life all about us, but there is deliverance. There is victory. There is a place in God where the flesh no longer comes under bondage, where, by the grace of God, every sensuous state of the human nature is brought into subjection to the living God. There is a place in God where Christ reigns in and glorifies the very activities of man's nature, making him sweet, pure, clean, good, and true. He said, I call on you today by the grace of God to that high life, to that holy walk. I challenge you to that life in God where the grace and spirit and power of God permeates your whole being, where not only your whole being is in subjection, but it flows from your nature as a holy stream of heavenly light to bless other souls everywhere by the grace of God. That is how victory comes. He said, there was a period in my life when God lifted my soul to a wondrous place of divine power. Indeed, I say in all humility that I believe God gave me such an anointing of power as has seldom been manifested in modern life. That anointing remained with me for a period of 8 months. One of the evidences of the power of God at that period was that God gave me such a consciousness of dominion. I'm going to read that again. God gave me such a consciousness of dominion to cast out evil spirits that the insane were brought from all quarters of the land. In many instances, as I approached them, the Spirit of Christ would rise up in me in such dominion that when I got to them, I could take hold of them, and looking into their faces, would realize God had given me power to cast out the evil spirits. Hundreds of times the insane were instantly healed right on the spot. He said, I have been a student all my life, not just a student of letters, but of the things of the soul. I noted that when this consciousness of heavenly dominion rested upon my life, one thing stood uppermost in all my consciousness. That was the vision of the triumphant Christ, the Son of God, as pictured by John in the first chapter of Revelation, where he stands forth in the mighty dignity of an overcomer, declaring, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. It's Revelation 1 and 18. He said, I am glad God has permitted man, even at intervals, to rise into that place of dominion in God. For it demonstrates the purposes of God. It demonstrates that he purposes that we should rise into the high place, not only at intervals, but this should be the normal life of the Christian who is joined to God. Christianity need not be apologized for. Christianity was the conscious life and power of the living God transmitted into the nature of man until man's nature is transformed by the living touch. The very spirit, soul, and being are energized and filled by his life. Thus you become indeed, as Christ intended, a veritable likeness of him. And that's the message that God has for each one of us. We walk and talk on this earth like the humble Jesus did, with the power of the Almighty God behind you. And when you go out, when God sends you out to evangelize or to show God's power, then that power will go with you. But you have to lead that humble life of prayer and fasting and reading and studying the Word of God to get it in you. That power comes automatically when you believe. Anybody got anything they'd like to say about that? Somebody's breathing hard. I got it. Okay, listen to this. I read this the other day in the Word of God, and what we were talking about tonight came to my mind. Listen to this, y'all. This is so good. Glory to God. I was reading it over in Ephesians chapter 4. As a matter of fact, that was one of my verses for the morning. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. How come? Why did he do that? Till we all come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what the fivefold ministry is for. After that, after everybody gets mature, walks in the fullness of Christ, you won't need them, will you? You won't need them. And that's what he's talking about here. Not a limited life, but an unlimited life. And the idea of God was that every man should be transformed into Christ's perfect image by his being joined to him by the Holy Spirit. Christ within and Christ without. Christ in your spirit and Christ in your soul and Christ in your body. Not only living his life, but performing his works by the grace of God. That is the gospel of God. Walking and talking just like Jesus. Paul said he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, did he? He said, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's for everybody. All right, anybody else? you know, does anybody really understand? I'm just now starting to grasp where God wants us to walk. He wants us to walk in that mature Christ. He wants us to walk like a mature Christian. And a Christian is a disciple of Christ. Somebody that walks in the same steps as Jesus. Not some old body that's sitting out there just moaning and groaning and murmuring all the time about, well, this happened to me and that happened to him. Uh-uh. No, he wants a son of God out there preaching and teaching the Word of God, speaking the Word of God. Amen. We're coming into it, folks. We're coming into it. I believe it. And I believe when the man-child comes here, and that latter rain hits him and the people that are around him. Ooh, my goodness. I believe that the latter rain is going to hit him and the former rain in its fullness is going to hit the bride. That's just me. I don't know. That's what I think. Because the man-child is going to be infused with the fullness of the former rain and also the fullness of the latter rain. It's going to fix everything that's been messed up. He's going to have the answer for everything, just like Jesus, because he's going to be listening to the Father, isn't he? Just like Jesus did, he's going to be listening. He's going to be out there listening to Jesus. Praise God. Okay, somebody else help me out here now. That's it in a nutshell. Look in that mirror and see Jesus when you walk out the door. 1 Corinthians 3:18. I hope this is encouraging y'all. Y'all better grin, say something. But good gracious, I'm sitting over here talking myself out here, getting me some tea. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, along those lines, in Acts, there's a couple verses I came across that of the disciples, you know, taking up, you know, Jesus' authority, and mainly it was Peter and cured, how to pronounce it, Aeneas, and who'd been, you know, lame for 8 years, and it converted a bunch of people just because they witnessed a miracle, and then he raised Dorcas from the dead, and just through the creative power of the Spirit, you know, working in him, you know, being Christ in him, like we're supposed to be, and he had that power, and that was able to create things where there was nothing, speaking into existence, as it were.
Amen.
Well, you know, I had that same thing underlined, Jim, to share it. I just told Danny, I said, oh, good, he's an X. That means I'll share mine next. And he read the same thing, and I said, look, Danny, I have that verse underlined. So... yeah, this is kind of really blessed me to reading it tonight, and even further when he went and healed.
Where is that?
Raised Dorcas. That's in Acts 9:34, about Aeneas.
Okay, I was in 9, but I didn't know. I was down there around Ananias. Okay, I got it.
The name is Aeneas, the man that he healed. Aeneas.
Mm-hmm.
But and then it says he goes on to Joppa and healed Tabitha, or raised her from the dead. That means Dorcas or Gazelle, the woman that was always very charitable and making things for other people and other women and stuff. And then Peter goes in there and raises her from the dead, and you know, she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive, and it became known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord, and he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. So that's the end of 9. But I was just reflecting on this and how, you know, he just goes in and does this with the power of God. And, you know, they all come in, and then he leaves. It's like wasn't a thing for a big fanfare. It was to do the works of God and proclaim the Lord's power in this way. And then I think somewhere else it says that many came to the, oh, that was after that man was, that Tumas was talking about, that many came to the Lord from that.
Amen.
So anyway, creative power of God in us. But that's like, you know, that's what he wants us to come to. I want that.
Well, yeah, and who was it? Was it Stephen? The Lord told him. He said, "Go on out there and find that eunuch out there, running down the road there, trying to read the scriptures." He said, "Help him out." Wasn't that Stephen?
Philip, I think.
Philip. Well, I knew these Stephen and Philip. I'm just testing you. Anyway, he the Lord was talking to him. He was listening, wasn't he? That's the key. He was listening to the Lord. The Lord said, go on out there and on that old country road. He's going to be going out there in a cart. He's a eunuch. He's a king or queen, you know, one of them high fluting guys. He said, go out there and help him out. And so when he went out there, he was running alongside it, and he heard the guy reading the scriptures. And he asked him, he said, what you reading there, bud? He said, well, I'm trying to read this scripture here, and I can't understand it. Can you help me? He said, sure. I said, let me get up in there, will you? And he crawled up in there with him. He said, what you reading? He said, I'm reading Isaiah. And he started talking. He said, oh, let me tell you about this one. And then he told him about Jesus. And then when he opened the door with Jesus, he was able to baptize the man, and then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Glory to God. You know, and he went back to wherever he came from and took the gospel with him, didn't he? That was another instance of God, a spiritual man listening to God. Spiritual man listening to God. So we have to understand how to listen to God closely. You know something? I'm going to have to tell this on myself. I hadn't heard God's voice in a long time, in a while, too long for me. And I asked him the other morning, day before yesterday, I said, Lord, I want to hear from you. And then almost immediately after that, he said, you are a lamp. Let's see. What is that? You are a lamp to my feet and a light to my walk, or something like that. And it was in Psalms 119, 105, I believe is what it is. I believe that's it. I said, well, ain't this special? And I hadn't even thought about that. And he popped that into my head. And so I got to thinking about it. I think it's Psalms 105, or 119, 105. Let me get there right quick. And I was thinking about that, wondering why the God, yeah. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and light unto my path. And that is the start of N-U-N, that those group of things there. But I just concentrated on what he gave me. And I was thinking, yeah, God's word is a lamp unto our walk. That's how we know by the Spirit where to go and what to do. We're directed by the Word of God. And a light unto my path. My path, God has already laid out for me. And all I have to do is get in the Word, understand when it's God talking to me, and not allow something else to talk to me, and be led by the Spirit of God. Because why? Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, right? And that's what he's talking about in here. He says in 106, he said, I have sworn and have confirmed it that I will observe thy righteous ordinances. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth. My praises go up to you, Lord. And teach me thine ordinances. We all want God to teach us the Word of God, don't we? So we can understand them. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet have I not gone astray from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes forever, even unto the end. So praise God. And I was so encouraged that God took the time out of his busy day to give me that word. Almost audibly. It was just, I wonder where that is. So I had to go on the net to find it, you know. But praise God, he did, you know, and as teaching us to listen and to ask him to talk to us, and he will. Such still small voice. All right. Anybody else have an experience that God talks to you and all the time? I know he does, every one of you.
What about from that?
What's that, Ken?
Yeah, what I got is when you be a light to my feet, how you be preaching to the star glory, when that makes, because the feet would be the star glory people. That's the way I've always thought of it, though. The feet of the body of Christ would be the star glory. The 30-fold. You're muted, Michael.
I'm sorry. Yeah, that's true. But what he put in my heart was something different, was that the word itself is the light. That's what directs us. That's what keeps us going in the right direction on the narrow path, isn't it? That lights up that narrow path. And that's what I got out of it, you know. That's what kind of the Lord put on my heart. You're right that could be considered the star glory, but at the time, that's what he gave me. There's layers and layers of God's word in these things. So what you get, what we all get, it's, you know, I might come back next week and get something else out of that bad boy, out of that particular verse. Okay, anybody else? You break up a little bit, Ken, and it's hard to tell what you're saying. I don't know if it's your bandwidth or what, but I can almost make out what you say.
I don't know. Might be my microphone. Is it working decent now?
Yeah, it's working good now.
Well, I guess I should talk into it. I got it pinned to my shirt. I'll talk into it next time. See if I remember.
Okay. All right.
Or you can learn to read lips.
Well, yeah, we could do that too. Oh, my. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share?
I had a couple more just thoughts on the creative power when I was thinking about it. And we'll go back to the original, back to Jesus. And when he first began his ministry, the creative power of turning the water into wine for the marriage ceremony. And then later on, the two times when he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. And, you know, just a miracle, but for him it was just, you know, he just laid it out there and blessed it. And then there was more than they started with both times. And that's, you know, creating something out of nothing again. Something to ponder.
Amen. That puts me in the memory of, you know, what David did with his family when they sat down to eat that time, you know, and they didn't have no money, didn't have any food either. And the Lord either fill our tummies or fill our plates, one or the other. And then they all got up full. That was a creative miracle. And another time he said that the spaghetti lasted for a long time too. Praise God. He could do it. I remember talking about multiplying. Missy, you want to tell about the? Do you remember the thing about Sandy when she took her books out to California? She took 12 books out to California, Sovereign God books. You want to tell it, Missy? You know it.
Little bit. Just basically, every time she turned around, I know,
Well, she had two places that she was getting the books. She had a drawer. She had a drawer that she had Jeff go to get them out of, and in the back of her chair, they had them in there. She only took 12. She gave out 40. Yeah. She'd tell Jeff, she'd say, go get me a couple of books. She said, don't look and see how many's in there. Just get me a couple. And he'd go get a couple of books and bring them in there, you know. Well, how many's left? Well, there's two left. So she said, well, go get me two books. And he'd go get two more books. And how many's left? I don't know. I didn't look. Well, don't look. She gave out 40 books while she was in California that last time she went. And that was an amazing thing that God did. That's all we had available for her to take was 12 books. And so she took them. And we just prayed, said, Lord, whatever she needs, that's what you're going to give her. And she did. Boy, she gave out 40 of them out there in California. Praise God. That's a creative miracle, isn't it? Anybody else? Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I'll throw one more thing out. That reminded me, we were getting into the Word quite a bit and listening to David and reading quite a bit about David as we're going into building our house. And we're doing the siding on the place and, you know, just one board at a time. But I was watching the pile of siding going down and I'm thinking to myself, and I ended up telling my wife, says, we're not going to have enough siding here. But I'm going to keep going, and I didn't want to have to, seem like it was special. It's hard to get up here because it's 12-foot pieces, and I just had a regular truck, no trailer. And I kept pulling off boards of siding, and, well, we're not going to have enough. And I just put it up and kept going, and pretty soon I realized that the God must be multiplying this siding because I'm getting down to where I'm almost done, and there's still, we're going to have enough. And it ended up, we ended up with just a few scraps, but the house got sided. I never did have to make another siding run, and I know that somewhere along the way, God put in some extra pieces in there, so I didn't have to go get another bundle and make an extra trip, and he supplied us with our siding. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. He can do it, can't he? He can do it. Anybody else? I tell you what, I've seen him multiply money in my billfold. I'm talking about not just a couple of dollars either. I'm talking about hundreds of dollars. I looked at it and said, what? Good gracious. I tell you something. I have to tell y'all that the fellowship here locally is a giving fellowship. They give, when there's a need, they give a lot of money. They give whatever they can. And people are blessed because of it. And God blesses us too. I know there was one time not too long ago that, let's see, somebody's not muted. Oh, I don't know who it is.
Sorry, it was me.
Oh, okay. Did you want to say something? Yeah, but he's multiplied money in my billfold many times, many times. Most of the time, it's a couple of $100 or something like that. But one time, boy, he stuck it in there. I said, Lord of God, looky here. Man, it was about $500 that he had put in there. You know, I know what I spend, and I don't spend a whole lot, but I spend a little bit. And he put five, but that's been about 7, 8, 10 months ago, maybe a year ago, he did that for me. So if you give, he'll give back to you. You don't have to worry about, you know, the money situation. That's the great thing about God. You give, he'll give. And you just listen to the Lord tell you what to give, you know, who to give it to. And many a times, you know, I give to people I thought might have had some money, you know. I said, well, you sure, Lord? And he said, yeah, that's where I want to get you to give it. And I give it to him, oh, man, you just don't know. I said, I needed that. And you just do that. You just obey the Spirit, and God will bless you. Yeah, Leon.
Yeah, David just found $800 in a drawer where he never put any money, and he found $800 in
No. You got it wrong, buddy.
$8,000.
Okay.
What did he find under the mattress then?
An additional
$8,000?
I think it was, yeah. I think it was. It was $8,000 both times.
Okay.
Yeah. So well, he got $16,000 there in just a short while.
Yeah. And one was in a drawer that he never kept money in, and the other
that he
was
never used.
Yeah.
And the Lord told him, said, go over and look in the drawer. He told the Lord, Lord, we need some money. Said, we're running way short here. And said, the Lord told him, said, go over and look in that drawer. He said, I don't ever use that drawer. And so he went over and opened the drawer, and there it was.
Well, I had just gotten a sheet from him for my brother. My brother was coming to visit, and so I got a sheet from David, and that was the drawer he was in.
Oh, yeah.
And there was nothing in there but sheets when he went in. And then just shortly after that, the Lord told him to go look in that drawer for money. And, you know, he said, I was just in that drawer.
Yeah.
Well, look, anyway.
I'm going to go look in my sheet drawer. I'll be right back. I tell you what, if you do what God says you do, and you need money, he'll furnish it. I mean, he can make that stuff. He can print that stuff out, whatever you need. I told David and them here, oh gosh, it's been quite a while ago. I told all the guys here, I said, I'm going to find me a 1 pound gold piece out there when I'm walking one of these days. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, I ain't talking about no gold pound either. I'm talking about a real pound. I'm talking about, what is it, 32 ounces is a pound or something like that? 64? I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to find me a real pound of gold. So y'all just be looking. David said, yeah, I believe it. I believe it, will you? So I'm going to find it. I'll tell you what I found out there the other day. Did I tell y'all about that? I found a dinosaur egg. I know y'all looking, laughing. I'm telling you, I didn't know what it was. It looked like something out of the Planet of the Apes is what it looked like to me. You saw it, didn't you, Judy? You didn't see it? Well, what you been doing every morning in that thing? Been sitting over on that stove.
I saw it.
Yeah, it looked like it had a smooth top. I tell you what, give me a second. Talk to him, Leon. I'll be right back.
Well, I don't know what to say either, so.
Well, you better think up something.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. How are you getting a microphone while you're going out
down
the stairs?
That's because I know Jesus.
Oh, okay. Did you say talk to them or talk to you?
Well, just talk. I don't care. Just make noise.
Okay. Well, I can do that. It's not very, I won't make very much sense, but I can talk.
I'm on the way back up.
Got your egg with you, huh?
Yeah, I was up on the hill walking like I do a lot and praying, and I run across this thing. Y'all want to see this? Y'all got any money? I'll let you see it. Send money. No, looky here. Look at this thing. Let me see if I can get the light on it real good. Maybe too much. See that thing? See how round it is and smooth? That's smooth. That's round. Now, here's the funny part. Look at that face on that thing. That's why I said it was planted to the apes. There's the eyes. There's the nose. And there's the mouth. That looked like one of them Planet of the Apes guys. I said, you know, they probably left that here sometime way millions upon millions of years ago. But anyway, one of the ladies here, Eve, said, that looks like a dinosaur egg. I said, I'll take it. How much are they worth? But I don't know what it is. But it's not normal. I mean, it's smooth. See the top of it? The head on that thing? Let's see if I can get that light on it. See that thing? How smooth it is? That's not a natural erosion. There's lines across it, straight lines across it. And if it was an egg, see it is separated. It's separated right there. And I don't know if you can see it or not. If you come here for a nominal fee, I'll let you look at it and hold it. No, I'll let you look at it. But Eve said she thought it looked like a dinosaur egg. I said, I'll go for it. How much they were. You know, and I got online and I saw where somebody else had found one, not like this one, a different one. And they had asked on a forum. They said, how much is this dinosaur egg worth? And somebody told them $400,000. Of course, he was kidding. And they took it and ran with it. I said, okay, I'll take that. Somebody wants to buy it. I don't know what it is, but it's unusual.
That's that pound of gold about that size, right?
Well, it could be now. I don't know how much a pound of gold is worth. I don't know how much gold is worth now, but it could be.
I think it's about $1,400 an ounce.
Really? That much?
Yeah.
I had a few coins here back when it really got up high, close to 2,000. I sold mine for, I believe it was 1,700 and something. Been a few years back, that's 5, 6, 7 years ago, when it was. My dad left me a bunch of gold coins. It's time to get rid of them when they get high. Okay, anybody got anything else? Now, Thursday night, we're going to talk about, with Mike and Yuri, we're going to talk about Once Saved, Always Saved. And that's always a good discussion. The thing that we have to make sure that everybody understands is that we got to show a lot of grace, you know. Just give them the scriptures and not get confrontational about it. We just give them the scriptures. I thought what I'd do is actually just, first of all, give my, just ask them if they believe the Word of God is the Word of God, you know. And if you can do it that way and you can waltz into it with that mindset that, yeah, we believe the Word of God and, anything that's contrary to the Word of God, we'll have to throw out, you know. And I've done that successfully with other people, some not so successfully, but that generally seems to work the best when you do that. And then we just we give them the scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures that refutes once saved, always saved. I know that they go by that the scripture that tells them that God won't ever forsake you or leave you or forsake you. But what happens is we forsake him and leave him, of course, as y'all know. And anyway, that's kind of the way I thought we'd go for it, go at it that way. And not be so much confrontational, it's just informative. What do y'all think? What does that mean? Okay, Missy. I'm going to let Judy start out Thursday night. She can start out with her verses. I'm just kidding, Judy. I'm just kidding. All right, anybody need any prayer or anything? Is that Dave? What's up, Dave?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had to let my dog out.
You had to unmute to do that? Oh, man.
No, I walked away and it came back and it unmuted me.
Okay. Well, anybody wants to help, sometime tomorrow afternoon I've got a bunch of purple hull peas to share. I don't mind any of the help that I can get.
Hey, Michael, was Dave just trying to blame the dog for unmuting him?
I don't know. I'm going to let you. Okay. All right. I'm going to read one little other thing here, and then we'll get out of here, or we'll close it out. This is by Andrew Murray. It somewhat talks about the same thing we've been talking about. And it's out of Andrew Murray on the Holy Spirit. He says, "What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." 2 Corinthians 6 and 16. And Mr. Murray said, "We have here an answer to the question, how is God going to be my God? Am I to regard him as a great and almighty and distant God outside of me and separate from me in the heaven above from who I am from time to time to have a little help?" That's what many Christians think. And it's because of this idea of God that they experience so little of his real presence and power. No, this thought of God is only the beginning of true faith in him. As we learn to know Scripture better, and as we comprehend the deep need of our hearts and the wonderful love of God that is waiting to enter completely into us, we learn that there's something even better. The question, "How is God going to be my God?" finds its answer in the words of our text. God has said, "I will dwell in them and I will be their God." That's God's answer to your question. And what a wonderful answer it is. There are things that surround us and force themselves upon our notice and occupy our attention, but we never give them a place in our hearts. And then there are other things that enter into us and take possession of our lives. A mother has a place in her heart for her child. Similarly, the gold of a miser has his heart with all its love and hope. We seldom think that our hearts were created so that God might actually dwell there, so that he might show forth his light and love there, and so that our love and joy might be in him alone. How little we know that, just as naturally as we have the love of parents or children filling our hearts and making us happy, we can have the living God for whom the heart was made dwelling in our hearts and filling them with his own goodness and blessedness. This is my message. God wants your heart. If you give it to him, he will dwell in it. The psalmist referred to God as the God of my life, Psalm 42:8, the God of my strength, 43:2, God of my exceeding joy, verse 4, and my God in Psalm 42:6, 11, 43, 4 through 5. But how is God to be the strength of my life and my God? In no other way but by coming into my life with his divine life and so filling it with his almighty strength. And then he is the strength of my life. With his holy life and love, he comes into my heart, into the very seat and center of my life, and acts within me as my God, working out my life for me. He makes divinely and blessedly true what is written here. God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will be their God. Do you not think it would make a wonderful difference in our lives if we really believe that, and in believing, receive the blessing it speaks of? What a holy awe there would be in us, and what a tender fear lest we should hurt or grieve this holy, loving God. What a longing would be awakened in us so that we would say, I want to know how to walk with this God and have full communion with him. And what a bright confidence would be ours so that we would exclaim, now my God has come to dwell in me. I do not need to fear any longer that I will not have his presence or that he will not do for me and in me all that I need. I want to give you a few thoughts that may help you to see that it is the very essence of true Christianity, the very thing man, as a sinner, needed to have restored to him, and the very thing Christ Jesus came to give. Man was created by God for nothing less and nothing else than this indwelling. Have you ever wondered why God created man at all? The reason was this: God brought creatures into existence so that he might show forth and impart his own divine goodness and glory to them in a way they could understand. And he desired that they, as far as they were capable of it, might share with him his divine perfections and blessedness. And he specially created man in his own image and likeness so that in man he might show how the life of God could dwell in the human creature and gradually prepare him and lift him up for dwelling with God and in God throughout eternity. God, in his love, said, in his measure, I want man to be as holy and as good and as blessed as I am. I cannot give him the holiness or blessedness apart from myself, but I can and will dwell in him in the inmost depths of his life, and be to him his goodness and his strength. Yes, this was the glory of the divine creating love. God wanted to give man all he had himself. God gave himself to be man's life and joy. And in no other possible way could God do this but by dwelling in man. Just as an oil lamp has its light inside, and through the globe it gives off light all around. So the God of love created man so that he might be the light of his life. The dignity and blessedness of man was to be that all the glories of the blessed God would continually shine through him before the universe. Our natures, our wills, our inclinations, and our powers were all to be the vessels that would receive and hold and overflow with the blessed fullness of the life of God in us. And it was to be man's high prerogative and privilege just to offer and yield himself to God in the awareness of this holy partnership. Everything that God was in himself in heaven living out his own life there, he was to be the same on earth, in and through man, living out his own life as truly as in heaven. Oh, the glory and the bliss of being man. Glory to God for our creation. Well, praise be to God. That's right. We are made to have God dwelling in us, the light of God shining forth out of us so that mankind could see and experience God himself through us. Praise God. All right. Does anybody need any prayer before we close out? Or any comments? Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
Okay, I want you all to agree with me. I'm going to confess a good confession in sight of many witnesses.
Amen.
I am healed, and this lying spirit is trying to convince me that I'm not. Has to shut its mouth and go. These lying symptoms must go in the name of Jesus. I am healed by Jesus' stripes, and I've been healed from 2,000 years ago in the name of Jesus, and I do not receive this. You might lie in spirit because I ain't giving up. You're defeated. You are under my feet, and I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for I have received this healing. It is mine, and I praise you and I thank you for it. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We believe with you, Lord, that that spirit's got to go. It has gone. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. She's given you the good confession, Lord, and it's done in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Denny, do you mind closing out tonight with prayer?
Amen. Thank you, Father. God, we just thank you, Lord, for your creative power, God, and the creative power you've given to us, Lord. We're grateful, Lord, and teach us how to use this, Father, how to walk in it, Lord God, how to use our imagination, how to walk in your grace and all these areas, Father, how to create, Father, how to provide. Thank you, God, how to exercise dominion that you've given us. So we thank you for the dominion you've given us, Lord. We praise you now. And give everyone a good night's rest. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, God.